It's a great privilege this year that we're able to celebrate the Feast of the Assumption on a Sunday and reflect in larger numbers on this teaching about Mother Mary and what the Lord did for her. Before we get into the particulars, I think that, you know, all of us who are Catholics get the question at least a few times a year. What is it about you Catholics and Mary? Anyone get that question recently? And of course, very often people will mistakenly say that we worship her. We don't do that, amen? That would be, are we clear on that? That would be a sin. It's called idolatry if we were to worship Mary, amen? There's only one God, and only God gets our worship. And we don't want to end up going to hell, so we don't want to commit idolatry, amen? So we don't worship Mary, but we do venerate. We hold her in great regard because of the remarkable things that God did for her and through her. Every now and again, when I get this question, there is a very simple answer that I propose to those who are not Catholic. And I like to sort of spar a little bit with them. I said, well, my Bible says, now are we all clear that if something's in the Bible, we ought to pay special attention to it? And my Bible says, regarding Mother Mary, behold, from this day forward, every generation will call me blessed, because God, who is mighty, has done great things for me. Every generation, the Bible says, is going to call her blessed, because God did indeed bless her. Now, just having a little bit of fun, you just say, well, now, we Catholics fulfill that scripture. We call her blessed. Amen? How about you? You see, we just spar and have a little bit of fun with folks and say, well, I'm fulfilling scripture. How about you? And so, again, what we're trying to do is not get in a big fight. This is not worth fighting, having a big fight about. Amen? But just in a kind of a good-hearted way to kind of say, well, what is it about us Catholics? Well, what we're doing is we're fulfilling scripture. We're fulfilling scripture, which says that Mother Mary would be called blessed by every generation. Last time I checked, we're one of those every generations, amen? And so we're calling Mary blessed. And our most central prayer about Mary is basically just a bunch of Bible quotations. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with you. Again, all said by the angel Gabriel to Mother Mary. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Well, that's what Elizabeth said to her. And then Holy Mary, Mother of God. Again, Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, said, who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And so we stitch these Bible verses together, and we acknowledge that God has done great things through Mother Mary, amen, and he did great things for her. So today on this Feast of the Assumption, we ought to have an answer to those who ask us for the hope that's in us. And the answer I would simply propose to you is, when someone says, what is this about you Catholics? You might say, well, we're just doing what the Bible says. We're calling her, we're among all those generations that call her blessed, because God, who is mighty, has done great things for her. Now, regarding the feast today in particular, the feast today, the Assumption of Mary. The word assumption here means to be taken up. This is what the word assumption means, to be taken up, body and soul, into heaven. Now, Mary, it's an ancient memory of the church. Going back as far as we can remember, there's an ancient tradition and an ancient memory in the church that Mary was taken up, not just in her soul, but in her body as well. Her body was snatched up along with her soul and brought right to heaven. This ancient memory of the church is not recorded as an historical event in the Bible, but it is a very ancient memory, going back, as I say, as far as we can remember, to the earliest days of the church. Now, although it's not recorded, the historical event is not recorded in the Bible, nevertheless, I want to say to you that assumption is a biblical concept. It's biblical. For example, I can give you several examples of other biblical figures who were snatched up to God. For example, in the book of Genesis, we read about Enoch. And Enoch, in the 5th chapter, it says of him that Enoch walked with God. Then he was no more on this earth because God took him away. So Enoch was snatched up, assumed, taken up to heaven. Now, the book of Hebrews, in the 11th chapter, says, it elaborates on what happened to Enoch a bit. It says, by faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death. And he was not found on this earth any longer because God had taken him. And it goes on to say that God took him because he was found pleasing to God. So Enoch is taken up. There is no grave of Enoch. He was taken up by God, body and soul. And now, another example of this that you're more familiar with, I'm sure, is Elijah. Elijah. Oh, you remember that great story about Elijah? Right at the end of his life on this earth, Elijah was walking out in the desert region there with Elisha, his successor. And suddenly, a fiery chariot came down from heaven, a wheel and a wheel, way up in the middle of the air. This great vision he had. And then the fiery chariot came down and Elijah stepped in. And I have it on the best of authority. He was singing an old spiritual as he stepped into that chariot. I'm gonna ride the chariot in the morning, Lord. Amen? He rode the chariot, the flaming chariot, up to heaven. God took him up, body and soul, into heaven. Now, it pertains to most of us that when we die, our body will lie in the earth, and we pray God, our soul will be snatched up to God. But for Elijah and Enoch, not just their soul, but their body too was snatched up to God. And we're going to see as we discover this also with Mother Mary in just a moment. There's one other biblical example. It's not absolutely clear, but there does seem to be some evidence and a tradition, even among the Jewish people, that Moses, too, was snatched up and taken up to God. It says here, we do know that Moses did die a natural death. It says here in Deuteronomy 34 that he was buried in Moab in the valley opposite Beth Peor. But to this day, no one knows where his grave is. Now, it goes on, we see that there developed, therefore, among the Jews, a tradition that Moses' body and soul was taken up to God. And that's why no one can find his grave. Now, you would think a great figure like Moses, you could find his grave. It'd be a big monument, amen? But no one knows where it is. And among the Jewish people came, many of them, this tradition that perhaps Moses, too, like Enoch and Elijah, was snatched up to God. In the book of Jude, in the New Testament, it talks about, I'll just read the quote. It says, Saint Michael the Archangel had a dispute with the devil about the body of Moses. Evidently, the theory behind this text is that Michael came to take the body of Moses up to heaven, and Satan disputed with him over it. Well, guess who won? Right? I know that St. Michael the Archangel won in any dispute with the devil. And so it is that we see that there is a tradition too that Moses was also assumed or taken up into heaven, body and soul. One final piece of evidence, and that is that in the New Testament, you remember Jesus is on Mount Tabor and he was transfigured. And there came to speak with him there up on the Mount of Transfiguration, Elijah, who was assumed, taken up, Elijah, and Moses. And they're both there talking to Jesus up on Mount Tabor about the great things that Jesus was about to accomplish. So again, we don't have a biblical account of Moses being assumed, but it's hinted at throughout the scriptures. So, I simply say to you today that this truth about Mother Mary is not recorded as an historical event in the Bible. It probably took place after the epistles and all had been written anyway. But it is, assumption, a biblical concept. Now, regarding Mother Mary, again, our teaching is that she was taken, body and soul, into heaven. In today's second reading from the book of Revelation, John looks up into the heavens, and what does he see? Behold, a woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars around her head. And who is this woman? Who is this woman? The scripture goes on to say she labored to give birth to a child who is destined to rule the nations with an iron rod. Well, who is that child who rules the nations with an iron rod? That is our Lord Jesus Christ. So who is the woman who gives birth to him? She is Mother Mary. And where does John see her? In the heavens. In the heavens. So again, these great visions, if you will, of Assumption in the Bible. Now, wasn't that a nice little Bible study? Now, again, there's a place for that. But you know, and if you were with Father J. Glenn Murray on Wednesday night with us in Bible study, you know that my purpose up here isn't just to conduct a Bible study with you. I'm supposed to be on fire up here, and you're supposed to see me on fire with the love of God, and I'm supposed to light a fire in you and tell you a good word, to preach, if you will, the good news to you. And to now, there is a good word for us. You see, brothers and sisters, we've done the Bible study part. We've looked at some of these scriptural texts, and we've seen that there is some basis for this teaching, an assumption. First of all, the ancient memory of the church, and then the scriptures themselves that affirm it. And that's all the what. But now comes the so what. The so what. Brothers and sisters, the Feast of the Assumption is not just Mary's feast. It is our feast as well. Because I want to make you a promise in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to know that Mary was taken up body and soul. Every truth we say about Mother Mary is somehow also applied to you and to me. Now, she bore Christ into this world. She received Christ into herself. And she bore him into the world in a very beautiful and profound way that is unique to her. But brothers and sisters, if you come up today for communion, I want you to know something. You are going to receive Christ into yourself. Are you praying with me? And you're going to carry him into this world. And you're going to show him to others. Amen? So what happened to Mary happens to you. Likewise, we say that Jesus, or the Heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit and Jesus preserved Mary from stain of sin, that she was preserved from sin and that she was sinless. We say Immaculate Mary. But brothers and sisters, one day you're going to see me in heaven, and you're going to say Immaculate Charlie. Because the grace of God that kept Mary free from sin is the same grace that's working in you and working in me right now. And one day, you're going to make an end of sin. And you're never going to sin again. When you're a saint in heaven, you'll still be free, but you won't sin anymore. Neither will I. What happens to Mary will happen to us. And this feast, Mary was taken up not just in her soul, as we pray when we die, but our body's going to lie in a tomb and it's going to get moldy and it's going to go back to the dust from which it came. That's going to happen. That's clear. But for Mary, it didn't happen. Her body was snatched up as with Enoch and Elijah and maybe Moses too. Certain individuals have received this gift from God early on. Early. For you and me, I promise you in the Lord Jesus Christ that your body that lies in death in some moldy old tomb, one day, I said one day, your body too is going to be taken up. It's going to be transformed, and it's going to be reunited with your soul. And you will be able, like Mary and Enoch and Elijah and maybe Moses too, to say, not just in my soul do I praise the Lord, but in my body too. Your body and my body is going to rise. It's going to rise. Now, I want to once again read to you, when will this happen? When will this happen? 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is what I'm reading from now, and about 51st verse and following. And it talks about that great getting up morning that we sang about today. That great getting up morning. It says that the trumpet is going to sound and our bodies are going to come forth. Listen to what Paul writes. You know this passage. It's often sung at Christmas time. For we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. And the trumpet will sound, and the bodies of the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we will be changed. For that which is perishable and mortal must put on immortality, and that which is perishable must put on to become imperishable. And then, when that happens, will come the saying that is written in the Scriptures, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Thanks be to God who gives us the victory in Christ Jesus. Praise be to the Lord. Our bodies, too, are going to be snatched out of our tomb, reunited with our soul, and we will be with God forever. Now, someone said to me, an older woman some years ago, she said, Father, I don't know if I want this old body of mine to rise. If this body of mine has to rise, I'm hoping for an improved model. Church, me too. Amen? I'll just talk about myself, but you put in your own details. In my resurrected body, I want to go from a GL to an XL. I want to go from the general model to the luxury model. I want that LX version. I want to get some of my hair back. In my resurrected body, I want to be able to eat all the Little Debbies and Ho-Ho, you know, all those snacks and Twinkies. I want to be able to eat all that stuff and lose weight when I do it. And I want my knees to work again. I'm looking for a little bit of a lighter model. Well, you've got your things and I've got mine, but church, I want to promise you in the Lord Jesus Christ that the body that rises will be truly our bodies, but it will be gloriously transformed by the Lord. Now, the scripture here again says from Philippians chapter 3, it says simply this, that the Lord Jesus is going to take these lowly bodies of ours and transform them to be like his own glorified body. Praise the Lord. And again, here we are in 1 Corinthians 15, and Paul says this. He says, now someone may ask, how are the dead raised? And what kind of a body will they have? Oh, he says, how foolish to ask this. Don't you see? And he goes on to say, it's very complicated, so let me just summarize it. Paul basically says, look, our bodies now are like a seed compared to what they'll be. Now think about an acorn for a minute. Does an acorn look anything like the mighty oak tree that it becomes? Hardly at all. But brothers and sisters, you take that little acorn, you put it in the ground, and 100 years later, a mighty oak tree which spreads and its arms over and gives shade and shelter, a mighty oak tree. How different that oak tree is from that little seed that is planted. Brothers and sisters, Paul goes on to say, as it is with this seed, so it is, our bodies are like that. Our bodies will be so gloriously and magnificently transformed that we'll hardly even recognize them anymore. It'll be like an acorn versus an oak tree times 10,000. Are you praying with me? Oh, I'm going to have quite a resurrected body. Yes, I am. You're going to say, isn't he fine? And you will see me the way I've always been meant to be seen. I'm just boasting about myself, but the same is true for you. Are you praying with me? You see, Mary's feast is our feast. Our bodies are going to rise one day. Do you see your dignity? The Lord doesn't just love part of us, our soul. He loves all of us. Every part of us, every fiber of our being has this dignity that the Lord will save and raise up every aspect of who we are. And do you begin to see, therefore, why we ought to have a great love for what we call the corporal works of mercy? That feeding the poor, clothing the naked, welcoming the stranger, and so on are so essential, because you just can't say to someone, I hope your soul is fine. We got to take care of our bodies too. Amen? Do you also begin to see it again why we have to reverence our bodies and treat them like the temples of the Holy Spirit that they are? The Bible says, flee fornication. Goes on to tell us that we're temples of the Holy Spirit. So we reverence our bodies, we love our bodies, we care for them. Now, don't become, though, like some people in the world, obsessed with your body so that you neglect your soul either, amen? Some folks are, man, they spend 4 hours a day down there at the results gym, and they don't pray at all. They're not praying at all. So the body is all developed, but the soul is dying away. So we keep the balance, amen? But still, our bodies are precious. Care for them. Love them. Reverence your body. Your body is going to rise, and it will be gloriously transformed. Job said, at the end, he said this. At the end of the 19th chapter, he says, I know that my Redeemer lives, and I, in the end, will see him again, and I will stand up upon the earth. And although my body has been destroyed, yet I will stand up again upon the earth, and in my flesh I will see God, and I will see him with my own eyes, not another's. My Lord's going to take me, and he's going to raise me up. So these bodies that are afflicted with cancer or temptation or struggles with diabetes or whatever the struggle, I just want you to know God's going to take these lowly bodies of ours and he's going to transform them into copies of his glorified body. And when will it happen? In that great getting up morning. Brothers and sisters, look for that day, long for that day, yearn for that day. Mary got it a little ahead of time. Enoch got it a little ahead of time. Elijah, and maybe Moses too, and Mother Mary, they got a foretaste of what we're all going to one day get. But brothers and sisters, get ready for that great getting up morning. I just love that old spiritual. Celebrate it. Wait for it. Long for it. Listen to some of the words of that old spiritual we sang today. I'm going to tell you about the coming of the judgment, but fare you well. Fare you well. There's a better day a-coming. Oh, that old arthritis. He's going to take Arthur's going to be gone, all right? There's a better day coming. In that great getting up morning. Fare you well. Oh, preacher, fold your Bible. Because the last soul's converted. And Gabriel, blow that trumpet. Lord, how long shall I and loud shall I blow it? Oh, blow it right calm and easy. Don't alarm all my people, but tell them to come to the judgment. Oh, in that great getting up morning, fare you well, fare you well. Oh, here comes now. Do you see them coffins bursting? Do you see them folks is rising? Do you hear the rumbling thunder? Do you see the stars have fallen? Do you see the world on fire? Oh, fare you well, poor sinner. Fare you well. In that great getting up morning, fare you well. There you will. Church, if this body of mine's going to rise, I want it to be in glory. Amen? I don't want it to be down there where it's a little hot, a little uncomfortable. We've had a little foretaste of that this summer. Amen? So I say to you, there's a better day coming. And in that great getting up morning, fare you well. For now, prepare. Take your medicine. Pray every day. Get ready to meet God. Sunday Eucharist, every Sunday, be in God's house, love the poor, stand with the afflicted, love justice, walk humbly with God. And I promise you, in that great getting up morning, It'll fare well for you. The weather'll be just fine on that day. The world may be on fire, but you're already on fire with the love of God, and you'll say the weather's just great. In that great getting up morning, fare you well. Fare you well. Mary's feast is our feast too. In that great getting up morning. Amen.